"Is that not rather a large thing to expect us to begin upon?" said Philby, an argumentative person with red hair. "I do not mean to ask you to accept anything without reasonable ground for it. You will soon admit as much as I need from you. You know, of course, that a mathematical line..."
"A line of thickness nil..."
"...has no real existence." "They taught you that?" "Neither has a mathematical plane. These things are mere abstractions." "That is all right," said the psychologist.
"Nor, having only length,
breadth, and thickness, can a cube have a real existence."
"There I object,"
said Philby. "Of course a solid body may exist. All real things. So most people think. But wait a moment. Can an instantaneous cube exist?" "Don't follow you," said Philby.
"Can a cube that does not last for any time at all have a real existence?"
Philby became pensive. "Clearly," the time traveller proceeded, "any real body must have extension in four directions. It must be length, breadth, thickness, and
duration.
But through a natural infirmity of the flesh, which I will explain to you in a moment, we incline to overlook this fact. There are really four dimensions, three of which we call the three planes of space, and the fourth time. There is, however, a tendency to draw an unreal distinction between the former three dimensions and the latter, because it happens that our conscientiousness moves intermittently in one direction, along the latter from the beginning to the end of our lives." "That," said a very young man, making spasmodic efforts to relight his cigar over the lamp, "that, very clear indeed. Now, it is very remarkable that this is so extensively overlooked," continued the time traveller, with a slight accession to cheerfulness. "Really, this is what is meant by the fourth dimension, though some people who talk about the fourth dimension do not know they mean it. It is only another way of looking at time. There is no difference between time and any of the three dimensions of space,
except that our consciousness moves along it.
But some foolish people have got hold of the wrong side of that idea. You've all heard what they have to say about the fourth dimension." "I have not," said the provincial mayor. "It is simply this, that space, as our mathematicians have it,
is spoken of
as having three dimensions, which one may call length, breadth, and thickness,
and is
always definable by reference to three planes, each at right angles to the others. But some philosophical people
have been asking why three dimensions particularly. Why not another direction at right angles to the other three?
And they've even tried to construct a four-dimensional geometry. Professor Simon Newcomb was expounding this to the New York Mathematical Society only a month or so ago. You know how on a flat surface, which has only two dimensions, we can represent a figure of a three-dimensional solid, and similarly, they think that by models of three dimensions, they could represent one of four, if they could master the perceptive of the thing. See? I think so, murmured the provincial mayor. And, knitting his brows, he lapsed into an introspective state, his lips moving as one who repeats mystic words. "Yes, I think I see it now," he said after some time,
brightening in quite a transitory manner.
"Well, I do not mind telling you, I've been at work upon this geometry
of the fourth dimensions
for some time. Some of my results are curious. For instance, here's a portrait of a man
at 8 years old,
another at 15, another at 17, another at 23, and so on. All of these are evidently sections,
as it were,
three-dimensional representations of his four-dimension being, which is a fixed and unalterable thing. Scientific people," proceeded the time traveller, after the pause required for the proper assimilation of this, "know very well that time is only a kind of space. Here is a popular scientific diagram, a weather record. This line I trace with my finger shows the movement of the barometer. Yesterday